What up, y'all? I just pressed start and I already forgot. It's episode 12 of Blunt Talk with me, Taylor Hart from Respect My Region. And I'm super pumped because today I have Sean the Shaman with me.
Yo.
And the sun is beating right in on us. So it's a little dark right now, but it'll lighten up as we start to talk. And so it'll be a fun way to enjoy the sunset with us. I don't know, it won't set before we're done here, but that's okay. We're going to get into it with the blend of the week here. I got Treedom's Truffle Monkey, which is a nice little sativa that I picked up the other day. It smells really good. It smelled like citrusy and like really, really like bright. With the name Truffle Monkey, like I was thinking that it was going to be like more like Gorilla Glue-y, a little more piney, but nice. It was like super citrusy. I'm excited to spark this up and try this out because one of my coworkers said it was like real nice and chipper, so it should be a peppy one.
Yeah, and shout out to Treedom because they're committed to practicing environmentally friendly, you know, processes whenever they can. So the package that this bud is in actually was made with 65% less plastic than a traditional bag.
Yeah.
Doing their part. Keeping the planet green. Wow.
I've actually toured their facility before, and it was really cool. They're pesticide-free, and they just do a good job with their flowers. So I'm sparking this bad boy up and trying this out. So it should be an interesting one to try here.
Yeah.
I know I've never had it, so.
I'm a big sativa dude, so that's like my, you know.
You're jazz.
That's my vibe, yeah. I'm a talker, right? So I think that's sativa's about communication and like, you know, a lot of people do the indicas because they just want to like zen out.
Right.
But I'll do a sativa and still zen out
because
I just enjoy the, you know, I don't know. Everyone's brain's a little different, I suppose.
I also think that there's like totally a different, it's a spectrum. That's really what's going on here. There's no like hard and fast sativa, hard and fast indica, right? There's some like land races and stuff, but like it's more of a spectrum. So you do have your sativas that are more like hazier, like happy-go-lucky, and that allow you to like be calm and zen out, but it's still like not like super sleepy, and that's really the difference between like that cerebral high or that body dominant high. And so I feel like the better the sativa, the better the cerebral high, and you're just gonna have like you could either zen out or you could be peppy, zippy, happy-go-lucky kind of a vibe too. So
yeah,
this will probably be a little bit of both. I don't even know what the genetics are, but I can feel it in my bones.
Something. Yeah. You know? Something good.
Yeah.
That's the Northwest vibe though, right? A lot of the weed I feel like out here is kind of like.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. I was driving through my hometown today, and I don't always go out there. Spanaway, Washington. Mm-hmm. But there was like a lady like doing some stuff with like a horse like out. And I was just thinking about how in touch people are with like animals and nature like out here. And
yeah.
Maybe like pretty in touch. Like there's like, you know, people feel compelled to like start wolf sanctuaries or like,
right,
you know, just be environmentally friendly, you know? And even just like the Mount Rainier and the national parks, and it's all kind of the preservation elements of like the salmon. Like they make a big, huge deal about the shit. So anyway, I was like, man, you know, our weed's probably grown with like a little, whoever feels compelled and called to do that job is like the same person who feels compelled to like be the park ranger in the fucking forest and like look after the bobcat. Like, same way I feel compelled to make records or like play music or QP with his camera work or whatever.
Right.
It's like we all feel compelled to do stuff. So lucky we are, because I feel like one thing I'm learning more and more as I like travel and like live life, and I saw it a lot with music, is like the people, so you meet like someone who makes great music that you really admire. If you spend enough time with them, get to know them, from what I've seen is that a lot of these people, the way they behave and who they are matches like their demographic to like a T. Like I'll like say like this particular celebrity is literally an amalgam of like these eight people that I know that love their music. And I'm like, oh, this is so surreal. Like if they only knew this person, they have a lot in common. They're never probably going to meet, but like, and I thought about like, man, I'm meeting these people who I feel like I have so much in common with, who I really look up to. then it dawned on me, like, what if that's just all the world is a bunch of people having a bunch of things in common, and then just a couple of people who are willing to be like, hey, right, you have this in common with me. Yeah. If you like smoking weed and music with me,
right,
and you'll find the people who are going to find you, you'll be like, oh, this could have been my, all the way back in the GameCube days, this could have been my homie, like, totally, this could have been my homie, like, a long time ago.
Yeah. And
some of the musicians I've collaborated with, it's like, I tell my buddy Ethan Tucker, I tell him, I said it a couple times, like, we could have played Mario Kart in 64, like, you know, a long time, like 99 together,
yeah,
like a long time ago. And, we would still probably be friends this day, just because it's that familiar vibe.
Kindred spirits.
And that's maybe what it is. Like, yeah. So shout out to Treedom for the freedom.
Yeah.
Deep. I hope that one day they like watch us. They're like, yeah, he gets it.
He gets
he
it.
He gets
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, man. It's on the show, man. He gets it,
he gets
man.
Our weed, man. I don't do nearly as good of an impression as Cheech and Chong, but you get it. You get our vibe here, what we're talking about. But it's absolutely, I mean, that's absolutely true. I feel like there's only, as diverse and different as we are, I feel like there's only, you know, a set amount of, like, personality types or the way that people can be as like, a whole, even though there's, like, intricacies within their personality. I feel like there's, you could make some generalizations,
yeah,
about the way different people are. Because, like, when I meet people initially, like, I have my own little, like, boxes that I don't necessarily like to keep people within those boxes, but I can put them into those boxes and know that they might be similar to these friends or those friends or, like,
right,
these types
right.
of people. And so I totally get that.
I think that comes in handy, too. Like, yeah. You see that in a lot of different infrastructures, right? Like,
yeah,
when people are putting together like a team or whatever, like, mm-hmm, sir, I need such and such that can do this job or
yeah,
whatever. Like, I know the right candidate is out
yeah.
there. Yeah. And that's all it is. No,
yeah,
everyone belongs. It's just finding what is, you know, be yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's like the overarching piece of it, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's okay. Like, you may not be, like, I'm 6'4". I'll never be 7'4". Like, I just won't know that
I'll
line.
Never be 6'4".
I'll never know that line. You know, and
yeah,
and I gotta be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
that's, you know, I'll never be, you know, it's just what it is. And we can find multitudes of, obviously, especially physically as a
right.
human being, we always want that acceptance piece, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I sometimes you always fall forward, like, in life when you're figuring that out. And I think when something's really real to you, like, I think that's why, like, there's certain stories where, like, we always want the underdog to win or something.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel like the underdog, but you really feel compelled, like Rudy, right?
Yeah.
B-Rabbit, right?
Yeah.
Like, he felt so compelled, but he's, like, the,
yeah,
the drastic underdog.
Yeah.
Like, but it's important that they keep going because they're a symbol for people who also identify with that position and
right.
those stories and those, you know, it acts as a motivator. And I think that maybe the people who do great things, like, you know, in whatever field it is, they just got to feel compelled because it's not
yeah.
always going to be like exactly perfect or like
right.
just like the movies. Like, you know, it doesn't just move like that. It's kind of like there's some serious humanity,
yeah,
you know, it's a whole 24 hour thing.
You got to make your own movie about it.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, I mean, I view my life through the lens of a TV screen. I think it's maybe because of like the way that I grew up. We watched a lot of TV and a lot of movies
yeah.
and stuff. And so like I kind of see my life through that lens a lot of the time.
Like you're Malcolm and this is Malcolm in the Middle.
Right.
Is,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
and it. And it's odd how many times like instances in life, like even today when you hollered at me and you're like, yo, I'm running a little bit behind. It was like, oh yeah, me too, oddly enough. Like our world was synced like that and everything, and it's just like weird how moments like that happen. And like I've had moments all the time that felt like sitcom moments or like
yeah.
you know, like this could be easily be a plot of a movie or something. And
yeah.
it's like, so I tend to like to make my own movie in that way,
I,
which is always
I
fun.
Relate a lot. I
and
relate
it,
a lot.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily striving for what it is in the movies. It's just coming to terms with what my own reality is and just making that into the movie that
yeah.
I try and see. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. No, me and QP talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
We talk about that shit a lot. That's kind of how we And I mean, when it all, yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe it's always been that way for me, that I've always kind of seen it in that. I was talking about, I played a show the other night, and I felt literally like I was watching myself play the show from like above. It was a whole nother level.
That's such a weird feeling, isn't it? I've had those feelings like when I'm interviewing somebody or in like making, like when we did the Music with a Message tour for this, for the Seattle World Tour, or the Music with a Message campaign that we did. There was moments where we were creating that where somebody was performing, or like I was interviewing them, and like the topics that came up and like what we were discussing and everything, it just felt so, I don't know, magical, or like it was just such a like important conversations, and like, and just like with the pandemic and everything that was happening at the moment, just like the impact of what we were doing would hit. So sometimes I felt like I was like out of body experience, just watching what we were creating. And it's so cool to be, I feel like, conscious of that and aware of it. I've met so many people in life who aren't aware of these things, or aren't aware of the internal things that they feel. And it's just, I don't know, to me, it's just so sad that you wouldn't be in touch with those things and this, and the energy around you and the things that you're doing. So I think it makes a huge difference. And I feel like you talk a lot about that in your music, and your music has that very spiritual and, you know, you can just feel the energy of the world around you through it, I feel. You know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah. I think I do. Yeah. Because there's definitely no like lasso or like muzzle like on the writing. Like, I just kind of feel like, you know, so some of my records, right? Like, I don't know, somehow you're right. Yeah. The spiritual pieces and the esoteric pieces always make their way into it. And I think I always viewed life like that. You know, I grew up, it was very spiritually like, you know, spirit was talked about, soul, eternity, things were talked about, you know, and, you know, I'd been around a lot of just different stuff, you know. And so, yeah, that was a big piece. And I think that as a grown man, that like watching life play out, or like just with all the nuance of it, you know, you see that this kind of, this whole thing, that there's a lot of like spiritual awakening moments, I think, in it all. So, yeah, with the records, you know, sometimes I don't know, I don't set out with an exact plan when writing them, you know, but then like if the right thing feels right, that sounds so cliche, but it's true. If like the right things kind of just feel right, then they just kind of write themselves. And then I look at it and I'm like, oh, you know, to me, it's like when a graffiti artist puts like a big burner up on like on a subway car, and he's like, oh, and then he like moves on to the next one. He's like, yeah. That's how I feel when I do my fucking songs. I just feel very much like this is my like, and then like I just kind of move through it, because I have a lot of things to say. And it's crazy because I have like, I feel like I call them like tablets. I have like full on like songs like downloaded like into my whole shit, where I'm just like ready to make them, or, you know, I've written them. Some of these records I dropped recently are just, I really made them like some time ago, but I just, you know, and then going around and like seeing how my liquid flow style and shit is just like, I'm just hitting on all these levels and all these places. And I'm just like I always knew, but we resist, you know? And I think that that's part of it, is like, you know, resistance is a motherfucker, because we're taught to resist, I feel like, and like resist, like we're taught to like stay in a certain pathway or way of thinking, you know. And I started to try to like, even though I don't resist, I'm still resisting on some levels, because I'll like, but then I'll have these milestone moments or like little things where the spirit kind of moves, and it's like, what is resistance? So it's like, it was an appropriate resistance for the time, so that way I could understand it, let it go, or move around it, or move through it, and understand that, you know, you're gonna have to move through things. So we will resist and we'll try to get around, but like, it's actually about going through something.
Yeah.
And it's transformative, you know? But I wish I could say that, like, as with all the cool shit going on with dropping songs or like playing shows and stuff, there's been like as much as good has come, there's actually been a lot of like personal life, like, you know, crazy crumbles or fumbles or like just different things that like go on with it all. And so you understand that like part of the building process is like this fucking dying process at the same time of like getting something new and letting go of other things. And that's a motherfucker, because, you know, it'd be real tough. It's like kind of like movies where you like a long training season lead up to like a big athletic event. Rocky IV or some shit.
The montage.
He's training and shit. And it leads up and then he wins and it's all worth it. He's all worth it. When you get to like the fucking it's all worth it part, you know, it's like, oh, it's crazy. Or even the fight part. It's like,
oh, it feels amazing.
But when you're in like the barn and like you got like the beard and like the gray sweats and he's like, he's punching me. You know, he's like, he's swinging an axe. He's like going crazy. They're playing that music, that fucking, that Rocky punk. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. That shit is lit. So, but in real life, there's like, you know, it's just, it can be crazy. So
I feel like that's what breaks most people is.
No, and you know what? That's the real, and you don't know it till you like experiencing it. Like, wow, this is really, it is. Most people, I think, here's what I think. I think it does its best job to like, you know, someone gets hit by a car, right? Some people like break a leg. Some people like dislocate ankles. People like die, right? It's the car hitting the person.
Yeah.
Who judges what the flesh is going to do when this particular car hits it at this speed?
Right.
You know, I feel like the winds of the high seas are going to blow on every ship that's out there.
Right.
And, you know, depending on how the wind affects you, is it, how did you set your sail? You know, and there's a lot of motherfuckers that get the ship sunk off of just the wind and the rain. It's it's real, but it's a... Yeah, it's unavoidable. And people do die. People from a lot of things. It could be the hypothermia. It could be a disease. It could be sickness. It could just be getting washed off and knocked off the thing. But yeah, that's crazy. What's to be said for the guy who gets knocked off the thing and the other guys who got to stay on the thing and actually eventually make it? There's a lot to be said for it. But what I will say is one thing I know is that, it's I don't look at no everyone I look at that has any type of career. I finally like see like, okay, like, you know, the respect isn't just, the respect is given because what people are giving up to have careers is like a lot.
It is.
So.
It is. And you don't really, I feel like at this point in American society, we've been so conditioned our whole lives for generations now that you go and out and you find a career and you work that career and then you retire and then that's your that's what you put into society, right?
Yeah.
And like nowadays, I think that that's changing a lot. And I think people are realizing to make these careers happen, like actual careers that you're passionate about and that would be fulfilling in life and not just like a corporate office job. Like it takes a lot because in order to stay passionate about it and continue doing it, you do. You have to fight through all of those battles.
Well, and it's a really unrelatable thing.
Yeah.
And I think that there's also something that's weird, like, okay, so like I have, everyone has different levels of where they're at, different things like that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when you sell tickets, show up, you crush shit. It's like undeniably good musical entertainment.
Yeah.
People are enjoying themselves. You're going around doing it. There are people who like, who maybe want to reduce you like in your own personal life or like things like that. I feel like what I'm seeing now, like understanding like people who've been in any tier of rap, you know, and niggas be switching it from A group, B group, C group, or like what's going on local, national, regional. I'm just like looking at music in general, anybody who's like really doing it. We cover the Britney Spears conservatorship with a fucking thing, but like, I don't think people understand that there's like a lot of like rudeness and abuse and like just different shit that goes into the way people might treat people who were in positions of like getting a lot of dap all the time and like getting a lot of love all the time. And it's not spoken on enough, you know. It feel like even at the highest level, like Michael Jackson was like, you know, he was like the highest, you know. And then niggas want privacy and not to be fucked with. So people, I don't feel like, I feel like I fit into the reggae world a little bit more. With my music, and it's like the more chill like vibe, trying to stay away from like the white hot space that the white hot space finds me, like, that's cool. But like, I'm still able to get bread and enjoy my life and play and be around good music and good people. Even though I'm making what most digest maybe as hip hop records or whatever, I'm just making records. I feel like when people look back on it, there's just going to be like a bunch of records, you know? Yeah. And like, I'm just kind of, I'm not afraid to use any instrument or like any style. And, but right now, man, I know for sure is that you got to be around positive shit, positive energy, because even when you're doing this music, your personal life, listen to me this, when you're doing this music, it's your personal life that can be like some of the most aggressively toxic stuff. I don't think it's always just the industry or the people. You're going to meet a lot of people who want to make money with you and do things because it's their careers on the line too. There's a lot that goes on with that. But it's your personal life, motherfuckers. It's the jealousy, all this weird shit that you can deal with that you've never even seen before. And if you want to still do the music, it's like going to cost you things, like people. And that's what people, that's really what she meant. She's like, it's that, taking people out. Because, yeah, it's like, well, you might prove to yourself that you can already do it. And then you're like, oh, I can do it. But over time, you know. And especially if your shit doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
And people don't see like the J. Cole, like standing out in the rain with a CD, like trying to get a hold of Jay-Z.
Right.
They just see like the monumental superstar. Exactly. DaBaby was like, he like shot a dude in Walmart, you know, and like had a whole drama life. And like, but niggas don't see that. They just saw like the platform he was on and the rapping career and the diamonds. And I feel like there's a lot of people, people don't see like maybe just how bad it is or what these people are really going through to get to these different levels. And it might cross over and be the same in a lot of different musics, you know. You don't know everyone's story. It's good to learn it. But most behind the musics you saw on VH1 had some fucked up, like, you know, some thing to it. And people had to like be like, well, that's what I knew. You know, it's always like, it's like the same.
If you try and like cut past that part of it, the story behind it, and you just try and like jump ahead. I think about, I just thought about like the Office space, jump to conclusions, Matt, basically. If you just try and jump to it without going through the process or anything, like what people are doing with their 15 minutes of fame, you know, just getting TikTok famous or Instagram famous really fast and going viral really quick, you know, there's no longevity in that. That's not going to set you up for success in the long run. It's going to burn out really fast, and then you're going to be done with it. And then I think that also leads to a lot of problems because you saw how high you could take it, but you don't have the foundation in order to keep it going.
Yeah, that's a motherfucker, dude. That's a mindfuck. Yeah. God bless you. If you're watching this and you're one of those people. I feel like what I really crave with it all isn't even like, I like the connection and the musical like thing. And I like what music can do for people. You know, can speak to you on a cellular level, speak to memory, you know? And, I feel like I never knew when we did Sideways with Decent at Best, when I did that song and like, then I started getting to come out and like rap it at different things and people would like know the lyrics. I knew like, oh man, like, oh, they really get excited when I do this. And and I want to do this more because I know I can do this. And I was like, I'm clever enough to like really do this. And now it's like from that time to now, it's crazy. It's a really interesting thing because I don't think that it's ever, all I ever did was like kind of like write about my life. And I think where I'm at now, Taylor, is that I got to like write about where I'm at right now. And that's what we're doing. You know, I got like new stuff going on with that and still releasing records. And when I was down in LA, so I'll tell you what I've been up to.
I was going to say, I know you've been doing a lot. So there's a lot to write about.
So it's now March. Next week I'm playing at the High Dive, with Greg Seif and, M5 Vibe and Generational Wealth. And that's a dope show, but I've been playing a lot of shows. Last week on Saturday, I played with this band called Indubious, and they're really dope, honestly. Cool. They're on some next level spirit, Rasta reggae shit. It's like crazy. And Stay Grounded was on that bill. Shout out to them. I was like a big reggae event. It was lit. It's a lot of Love Is Free shirts across the motherfucker. It was a vibe. When I play now, it's me and my turntables, and I kind of like set it off with different DJ things. And then I also have a percussionist, and then I like step from on the turntables and like rock the mic and like get it popping. So it's like a thing.
Yeah.
And it was a great show.
Yeah.
And before I did that show, I was in Hawaii. Went out to Hawaii. I played two shows in Honolulu just the week before that. So March 11th and March 12th.
Ah, that sounds wonderful. Yeah.
March 11th was my birthday.
Hala, hala. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Pisces in the building. We're out here. Yeah. QP's also a Pisces off camera.
Hey, March 2nd. Pisces, but they'd rather be a killer whale.
Yeah. That's what I feel. That's what I am.
Shout out, Andre.
I'm a orca. That's how I feel. Black and white from the Puget Sound. This is the pod. It's an orca pod.
Yes, it is.
I was just saying that. If only you knew how much I said. I even say that in my songs. Orca boys, like girls with whale blubber. It's a thing. It's a whole thing. So I did two shows in Honolulu. That was great.
Yeah.
Before that, we did Cali Vibes. Did we do anything after Cali Vibes?
We went to Hawaii.
Okay, so then that was it. So Cali Vibes, we did that, which was a dope festival down in Long Beach. We got to play that with my boy Ethan Tucker, which was really cool.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-day festival, and it was just like the who's who of, you know, all that shit. And
What was that like?
Man, just being like the artist compound and
chopping
it up. I chopped it up. I can, I'm talking to you, so I'll name drop, I'll tell you who I was talking to. So I was talking to like a lot of like different people from the reggae scene.
Yeah.
This dude, Denim, I fuck with Denim, Slum Beach Denny, you should bump that shit. You really like that. It's like Sublime's new grandchild.
I'll have to check that out for sure.
Fucking legit as fuck. He's like that nigga.
I've been on that vibe too lately.
He's that nigga right now with the shit. So I talked to, some of the guys from Revolution, you know. Those are good guys. Talked to a lot of people like that. Talked to some of the Wu-Tang Clan. Had a lot of talk with Capadonna.
Guy.
Shout out Capadonna. Been texting with him a little bit. We're going to probably do something. He's a real good guy.
Man, I got Lou on my ankle here.
Yeah. He's a real good guy. Those guys are all real good guys. And that's what I'm saying is, it's like, the vibe that the whole thing was on, so I thought I felt something like a.
That's okay.
It's like some hair product or something.
Man, I got hair for days. Yeah. I constantly.
Yeah.
Feel like my hair is.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's all gravy.
So. Yeah, I normally wouldn't even say those things, but I was talking to you. I figured. See, that's the thing. That's why this is a good show, because people feel. She's been on the scene a long time. I think people feel good to tell her these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's also, I can't announce this show coming up, but I'm booked to open for somebody who I've really listened to since I was a lot younger. I'm really excited about playing, being on the same bill as, and that's going to be in Tacoma.
Okay.
And that came in yesterday.
That's exciting.
And that's going to be on 421.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so
solid.
Planting seeds. Has planted a seed, I suppose. And now there's something else going on. So
it's
going
to bloom next
month. It's a whole thing. Yeah, we're just blooming on some bloom shit. Shout out to my guy, Efton B from Adubious, because we were just talking about that. And Jared from Dirty Heads.
Yeah.
And that's it, man. Just like, you know, before I did that show, those shows, I did Ethan's birthday at the High Dive. And I've been releasing music. You know, I dropped Love Is Free, the music video, in November.
Yeah.
I did the toy drive through December. I dropped Perseus in January. And then I just dropped Tsunami on my birthday, March 11th.
Yeah.
And while I was in Hawaii, I just thought that was fitting. And I got other music I'm dropping, but I just decided I'm just going to keep dropping singles, keep sending my music to my different contacts and people and checking in and keep rocking shows. And one of my favorite thing about music and how I feel is like, I like to change how I present the music, you know, like I like to refine the set and like try to add you know, just like different elements to it. And I think that that maybe is like the DJ in me who wants to like change beats and like do different, you know, just different things.
Totally.
And so that's what I'm working on. Yeah. Especially for this upcoming 421 thing that I can't say. Maybe I'll tell you off camera, but I can't say it. I was told I can't say nothing yet. So no. I gotta.
Can you say venue at all?
Real Art Tacoma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. We can just keep that. That's what you have to look forward to, people. Real Art Tacoma on 421, you said?
421. Yeah. You don't need to know anything else
other than that Sean's going to be there, okay?
Yeah, and just know that, like, Major Smokers is going to want to come see this dude.
Yeah, well, it's 421, so hello, that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, people who like, you know, there's certain anthems that this person made that I feel like people really fuck with. And, like, a certain vibe of, like, niggas that drive Cadillacs. Definitely listen to this nigga.
Oh, it's so fun.
I know. That's a certain...
I'm like, I want to start playing 20 questions. Like, is he a West Coast cat?
Man, I feel like this guy sounded so global. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, man. So that's what's coming up with that. And then I got booked for some festivals this summer.
Yeah.
So I know I'm doing, like, the Brody Nation stuff, like Washington stuff. Like, I got some other Washington things I'm doing, but trying to get out of Washington again and play some distant shows. Oh, I got Eugene, Oregon coming up. In between Planting Seeds and the 421 show on the 16th of April, I'm in Eugene, Oregon.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm doing a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
And I've been DJing a lot. So that's something I do too, right? It's like, that's kind of how it all started with
right.
doing that. But, yeah, I don't know what evolved, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's what I've been up to, man.
That's sick. Yeah. What's your favorite thing to spin? What do you like to throw on? What are some of your favorites?
Do you want to know what my favorite jam is to play?
I really do.
One of my favorites is Alice DJ, Better Off Alone. Do you know that song? Do you think you're better off alone?
I think I do know that song, but not by name.
Do you think you're better off? Alice DJ, Better Off Alone. It's like a techno house record from the late 90s.
I have to check it out.
Yeah. And lately I've been playing Paper Cut by MGK. I feel like that's a fucking bop. And just the way that guitar crunches on the speaker. Like, boom, boom. Hey, boom, boom. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit is like, yeah, I really think that people can say what they want about it, but I feel like the recipe for that record alone is like Weezer, Nirvana. Like, it has like this very kind of timeless sound to it, and I was like, yeah, fuck with this shit. And I feel like in a couple of years that guy might be like at some perennial level where people will look back and like forget that like it was ever like a questionable level,
right?
Kind of like Drizzy Drake got to like this level where it's like you can't really there was a time though where certain people were like Drake, but it's not. I was always like a super Drake, like, oh, crazy about Drizzy, but there was a time I remember niggas would give you a hard time or like act like, Drake.
I mean, that's me. I don't like
Drake. So there you go. So. But like, what I'm saying.
I don't hate on him though, because I understand like what he has done.
It's like,
you know what I mean? Like, I can acknowledge what he's done.
I feel like there's purists out there. Yeah. I got homies, you know, I got people I meet who just ain't. But from me, as someone who writes records or like writes music and like just records it and all that, I think everyone who does that listens to what that guy does. Unless like, yo, I think it does make it seem mad effortless to like write and record
really
some shit.
Really does.
Yeah, and like make it just jump hula hoops over.
Right.
He could literally do anything to a song and, you know, fucking make it jump. But anyway, this isn't a Drake stand moment. I just was saying that like MGK could get himself to a moment where niggas might look at his catalog and be like, yo, that nigga fucking came out and did some crazy shit. I don't know, I ain't seen the live show yet.
I think it's because when he came out, people tried to like just pigeonhole him as a rapper instead of just an artist coming out, because hip hop was coming into, you know, being the number one genre in the mainstream. And
he was spitting hard with like Waka Flocka. That was like a way to come out and be like, I'm gonna mosh.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think that he needed to be labeled as just this rapper. Like, he's hip hop, he's a rapper. Like, I think that's really where like it got he got kind of lost in the sauce, I feel like.
That's, you know, Bad Boy. Bad Boy Records.
Right. And yeah. Like, I feel like too, because I know plenty of people that listen to him and like his music and stuff too, you know, so I've listened to some of it because of that. And, you know, I kind of feel the same way as you. He's not like a terrible artist at all. Not my cup of tea, but not a terrible artist. Yeah. And I think that he can progress and become better as well. You know what I mean? And expand outside of that. But yeah, I think there's quite a few artists who kind of got pigeonholed in that as well. And it kind of, I don't know, even for me, like, it fucked up a lot of perspectives on that artist.
Like, how old are they though when they're getting on? Like, he's got to be young. Like, right. And I think about how stupid as fuck. Like, I was when I was just dumb as fuck. Like, I was jumping out of aircraft. I was 82nd Airborne. I was like, had guns jumping out of airplanes. Right. I was like reckless in my body and my fucking everything. You know? In strip clubs and shit. I was reckless. So I imagine being rich and popular and like, you know, just like rapping on a mic all hard. Like, you're just, you know, Lil Pump and all those guys like Disintegrate. Like, I don't know what the fuck Lil Pump is in life anymore, right? And like J. Cole kind of called it. He was like, it's not gonna, in 5 years you'll be on Love and Hip Hop, he said to him, you know. And and I think that maybe that's what I thought, you know, in some ways when Yella Wolf and MGK showed up at the same time in the industry, it was like A&R certainly wanted, Iggy Azalea was rapping. There was a certain pocket where these rappers kind of showed up. There was a freshman 15 thing. I think they were part of the XXL freshman. Yella Wolf was just kind of this rapper who embraced his country roots or whatever. And I guess that career panned out for me as like his independent fan base or whatever.
Totally.
MGK, I thought that he was like reduced below Yella Wolf on the talent level and like the legitimacy level of like how, because this guy had Eminem in his corner and all this, you know. This guy was just some random guy from Cleveland. Didn't really like know who he was.
Yeah.
And then like over time, he just never really went away. And like I saw when he came, he showed up for a thing. It was like Meek Mill, him, some people, I don't know. It was at the Crown Coliseum. And he showed up and he was just like fucked up, like falling over. Like he was like drunk as fuck. Check this out. It was like the afternoon. He's like fucked up. And then when it was time to like go on stage, he was like, none of that ever existed. And like he was like just beyond.
Right.
He was like, he moved his body, his big, rangy, wiry athletic body, and he was just like the crowd, the whole crowd that even came was just like his fans, it seemed.
Right.
It was like people with these XX things on them.
Yeah,
just people. It's, and that's what I saw. I was like, oh, he's got a whole army of like
that's crazy
loyal fans. And this was like 2014, 2013. It's like probably 2012, 2013. Wow, it's like way back.
Right.
Fuck, that's 10 years ago.
It's a long time ago.
Damn. That, so that there's been a serious grind.
Right.
Yeah, there's been a serious grind that like I saw that, and it was still like in a coliseum that could fill people. It was like dismal. But the ones who did show up were all these MGK fans from North Carolina converged on this arena for him to rock them. And he wasn't doing the guitar thing yet, but it was like there was a rock element to his shit.
Yeah.
And it was the mic work was there and shit. So I'm saying there's another level of like how the music's performed that's like, you know, David Bowie-esque, you know, or like just some high level. Because niggas can rap all day.
Yeah.
Niggas can rap in the lunchroom. You can just rap in the living room. Like, you can just rap.
Yeah.
You know, and you can rap over your own shit all fucking day. You can do this shit. But, like, to be a musician, like, you know, niggas get caught that artist shit and scapegoat in that motherfucker. Like, oh, Kanye show, so I can do what I want.
Yeah.
Because I can, nigga. Because I can. But it's like, I feel I'm different. I feel like I'm from a different train of thought where it's like, you know, I take pride and like honor in, you know, the visceral, you know, performance of the music, you know, and like the, and that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, last week I was just talking to Mambo about like being an entertainer and like what you, like the work that you have to put in just to be able to entertain people on stage, you know? And we were talking about like crowd interaction and all of that. Cause I mean, a lot of times in Seattle, it's really, we're known to be a difficult audience that doesn't.
Oh, yeah, that's all of Washington. You know, that's the gray cloud. You go outside to LA or Hawaii or wherever, you know, where I've been lately. Right. And it is a different story. I do get like more engagement and like, you know,
right.
But in Washington, it can happen. You know what happens though? That's why I like playing with these other styles of music. I go to where the fans are different, or I bring my fans to a place where it's like, and I watch as it melts, because people will get in there, you know, but if you play your music, people are more apt to get into it. Does that make sense? Like if you play, you know,
or you're just more engaged with it. You're not just like, hey, DJ, play that. And then you go into your,
Cause somebody's playing some, you know, when you see these bands across Seattle that have had success, they often are playing and doing solos and all this other dope ass music shit.
Right.
That's like,
and that's part of the entertainment of it all is watching somebody show off their skills on this instrument that, you know, like the amount of talent that it takes to play an instrument is insane. It's insane. I've tried to play instruments. I'm not, I can do it. I'm not very good at the playing. I'm a consumer. I like to listen, you know, I'm not very good with the playing of it all. And it's very, I feel like I can go both ways. I can either be a very engaged, participating crowd member, or I can be like just kind of in my own world and absorbing the whole show in and of itself. And it kind of does depend on how well the person on stage is entertaining and interacting with the crowd and all of that.
That's real. It's the same thing when I was in church as a little boy. Like, if the fucking music was whack, and the whole shit was whack. But if it was good, like, all of a sudden, it sucks them up. It'll suck you in.
Yeah.
And that's just, music will do that. It should be whack. It sucks you in. It's all of a sudden, it's a fucking thing, you know. How many times have song, and maybe that's what the secret behind these TikTok things is, matching some sort of memory bank of sound with a memory bank of vision.
Yeah.
And trying to, like, seamlessly, you could instant recall that shit. See,
oh, man.
I haven't even really been on the TikTok like that. Yeah. I've just been on Instagram heavy and Facebook, and that's it. I don't really get on TikTok or Twitter. And I think that's just by like some weird choice of mine where I just didn't want to do it because it just seemed like I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And now I see obviously a lot of people have it. And it's like, oh, it's necessary. You must have this.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, like, no, I just don't want to get on it because I might stay stuck on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers be on that one.
I've been having the same thought process in my head. Like, I'm not on TikTok. I stick with Instagram, and that's basically my main one. I'm on Twitter too, though. But yeah, I mean, I don't venture out much further than that, but I see the importance of it now and like how it is one of the bigger platforms nowadays. And I'm just like, what you said though about like matching the visual and the sound and just getting that wrapped up into the memory bank, basically, like, that's how powerful it is, and that's how easy it is to use one of those platforms to spread your word out to people too, though.
Yeah.
And so, and the thing that's nice about TikTok, which I liked about it, was that it had that musical integration to it, like, and it had a heavier focus on that than like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or anything like that, right? But it's still like another platform to like have to navigate and learn and get into, and it's so full of teenagers that it's just like, it's been hard to like think of it as like an adult business tool as well. But it is, you know.
Do you think they're done? Do you think that they're done with social? Probably not, right? Like social companies that are going to come up and be necessary companies. Like, do you think it's done?
I don't think it's done. I think it just needs to go through an overhaul because I think it's a really important tool. I don't go on Facebook. I never post on Facebook, hardly ever. But I have a lot of people that I connect with on there, and it's one of the easiest platforms to connect with people on. And so, like, that's, I feel like, really necessary for me because, like, if some of these sites went down, like, the amount of things that I've done because of them, I would have never been able to do. I don't have half the people's phone numbers in my phone that I contact on Instagram and Facebook. Like, it's so easy to do, and it's so easy to connect with people across the world that way, that I think social media is here to stay. I just don't think that it's going to be entertainment much longer.
Wonder where it's going.
I'm hoping that it's just going to utilization and as a tool. I'm hoping the cell phone in general moves towards being more of a tool instead of your entertainment platform. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's ever going to stop.
I don't think it is because of how how crazy.
I mean, they make money through the entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, they do. And
there's a lot of money. I mean, people played that fucking Candy Crush saga like it was going out of style, and they made billions.
Candy Crush, so much money. But the problem, there's such an ethical problem with it, is where I come from.
Farmville.
Yeah.
They fucking ran that up. They ran up. I know. And you know who's playing it? It's not even who you think. It's not even like.
It's the just fucking the little it's, old ladies.
It's, and it's like.
Trust
and,
me, I watched my grandma
like
do it.
And it's like your mom's friend, and it's like your sister. You're like, oh, my sister plays. It's like a whole thing. It's like all these. It's like, how did they get sucked into a video game? That's so crazy.
But what I've watched a lot of documentaries lately about like social media and the impact that it's had on people and the impact it's having on the world. And that's why I hope that the phone moves away from more entertainment and moves back to utilization because of that impact. And I just think that psychologically, like, it's going to fuck up generations to come if we let that become the focus and allow that to continue. You know what I mean? And that's why, like, I don't want to get rid of social media and shit like that, but I also don't need it to be what keeps people's attention 24/7. I want people to more go out into that world and have that community interaction and engagement and go to shows and not pull out their phone and be on it the entire time and, you know, and all of that. So, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to find that balance and where it might go in the future.
I was just thinking about this. Yeah. I heard that these people are married now, but they met playing that game Words with Friends. You know, the words.
Yeah.
Words with Friends.
Yeah.
About how so it starts out. It's like, oh, this is a worthy competitor.
And see,
tell me more about yourself, you crafty word combining. Right. Mind. And I also like to combine 9-letter words together for bonus points. That's amazing
as well.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like there's this whole other, the Grand Theft Auto piece where now people are on their PCs with the mod and they're like cops and they're real, like, you know, playing a role in the role-playing universe of Grand Theft Auto. And there's all these modifications where they literally have like driver's licenses and all this shit.
Yeah.
EBT cards, like there's all this shit going on.
Yeah.
I got into the Oculus when I was in Hawaii, and my buddy had it and fucked me up. I was just like, this is a lot going on.
Yeah.
The shooting games and ducking down. And this guy, you guys didn't see QP off camera. QP, you want to just put your head in the camera real quick?
Yeah.
Poke it on in here.
Just come on in here. He's been here the whole time.
Yep. Yeah. There he is. He's here.
He's doing,
here.
Yeah.
This guy
a stone cold killer on the Oculus. So he's...
Yeah, I was going at it just like straight up like John Wick.
Sick. I have played VR a couple of times, and I was like doing like a racing game, and like at one point, you know, you look back and you're looking back into the back seat basically, and it's just like it's wild sometimes, some of the like the development in some of these games. But that's also like the problem with it too, I feel like, is that people are going to just get sucked into the metaverse, as they're calling it these days.
You know what, though? And that's what I was kind of getting at. Was like, what happens when it overlaps and it is a fucking role-playing game just like that GTA shit and it's in the meta and you're like, literally like, what happens?
Why go outside anymore? Fuck, I mean, might as well just live in a pod, a little fucking micro studio pod in front of your screen and have nothing around
you. Dude, what I'm saying is it's going to get advanced and they're going to be, people are going to be,
Black Mirror about
people are going to be isolated and they're not even, they're going to have boyfriends and girlfriends in their own house and like all these, you know, they're not going to fucking care about, they won't even reproduce.
Right.
Yeah.
Humans are
just
like,
humanity is just going to die off and the world will keep on spinning. Happier without humans destroying it. Like, it's wild to think about these things. But yeah, there was definitely a Black Mirror episode about that too, where they're all just living indoors and in these pods, and everything is some sort of game or virtual something. And
the bicycle
really,
shit.
Yeah. And yeah. Really what it is just firing up your reward center all the time and constantly getting those shots of dopamine and serotonin and everything into your brain. And that's a lot of what it is. It's targeting your reward center and abusing it. And that's what happens with addiction, with drugs and alcohol and shit like that too. It's the same thing. It's taking control over that. And so that's why I'm like, I don't want to see it go away. I just want to see it balance back out into more of a utilization and more of a tool, and not so much the heavy focus, like, of people literally just sitting on that couch all day long, not moving, and just like,
dude,
scrolling.
Yeah.
Scrolling. Yeah, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Yeah.
It's wild.
I don't even like doing it as much, like, as all the social media that I have to do for, like, the work that I do.
Yeah, you do a lot.
It's so time consuming that I'm at the point where I've done all of that time consuming, like, this is for, like, work type stuff, that, like, I don't like to go on social very much.
Yeah.
Even when I'm out at shows or out doing stuff, it's like, it would be so cool had I captured so many things in my life, but I was too busy living it.
Yeah.
And enjoying it and whatnot, that it's, I fight and struggle with it every day. Technology is a real bitch. You know, because, like, I love scrolling through my Instagram and revisiting things that I did in life.
Yeah.
And half of the shit that I've done, I can't scroll through or revisit because I don't have any documentation of it.
Yeah.
Other than what's in my head.
Well. That's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had some kids playing outside the house all day, you know. Yeah. It's a nice
sweet
environment,
kid.
You know?
It's sweet kids.
It's good,
yeah. When I was a kid, I was out in the community just like that, fucking tearing it up. I was the youngest of three.
Yeah.
And we just, it was just an environment. It was an apartment complex. You know,
you
it was a
bunch
outside. Of kids. I played outside like
you
a
met
motherfucker.
At the energy, the little green energy thing or whatever it is.
Yeah, or we just, yeah, wherever. I mean, it was a,
anywhere.
Man, it was lit. Let me tell you.
Any little grass patch. You know,
it was a lot of kids in an apartment complex.
That's kind of how I was too, growing up in apartment complexes, playing with all the kids around you. You had built-in friends. It was great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was real.
Get off at the same bus stop.
100%. And then you got a bunch of friends to play with after school. It's lovely. It makes a good vibe. That's the first time I looked at the clock, and it's almost at the hour mark. This went by so quickly. That's why I love bringing Sean on, because he can just talk and talk and talk, and it's always just a good conversation. Let's just wrap it on up here. Tell the people where they can find your stuff.
Yo, so
plug what you got going on again one more time.
Really dope ass music, especially if you like smoking weed. Like reggae and hip hop together. My name is Sean the Shaman. You can find me on Instagram at Sean the Shaman. I'm on all the platforms, you know, Apple Music, Spotify, all that shit, YouTube. I got a show coming up on April the 2nd at the High Dive in Fremont. Tickets are $10. I got them on me. We'll pull up on you, deliver them straight to you. It's all love. I think you should come out. For a number of reasons. Number one, it's right after the first, so it's like your payday. You've got something to do. It'll be lit. Take your friend out. Have some fun. Get some drinks. Come party with us. Number two is it's a Generational Wealth headlining, and they're like a funk band, and they haven't performed in a long time. Josiah French is coming back to the stage. He's a big deal. He had like that life-altering accident, all that stuff. It's like his big return to the stage, so. We're super excited to have him and have them. So I think it's something you don't want to miss.
Yeah. Quentin, shout it out since you're here.
Hey, so my name is Quentin. I'm a filmmaker. I'm the director, so I make music videos. I did one with my boy here, Sean the Shaman, which was back in Hawaii last year. That was called Shit Talk.
Holla.
We had local online band. Shout out to Shorebreak. Shout out to all y'all. We love y'all. And then had like special cameo with Juice from Flatbush Zombies.
Sick.
We have that. And also in the works right now, we do have like another music video that's coming out pretty soon.
Yeah. And that's real. Yeah, we were filming some of that out in Hawaii. And we've just got so much footage. She's been coming around with me for
a while now.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We started out, I hit him up like in like 2020, and he was on the road with the Tesla thing with Saul Spady and those guys. And I was like, yo, I gotta tell my story. I gotta like film my story.
And he's like, yeah, sure.
And then, and then it was like, yeah, it was like a bigger thing than we thought it was. And then so we started biting off chunks of it. And then now we've been around different states and shit. This guy went to Mexico. Yeah,
it's
fun. Doing it.
Yeah.
It's been a whole thing. It's been a whole thing.
So cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, come out to the show. Come meet these guys. Get to know them and connect with them. They're super dope all around. So yeah, thank y'all for coming on and being here with me as well. This was episode 12 of Blunt Talk. 12.
Hey. 1 plus 2 is 3.
That's right. Hey. 1, 2, 3. Hey. Dun, dun, dun. And that's how many blunts we smoked for this episode as well. Three of them. Shout out Treedom. That Truffle Monkey was great having a social conversation like this. So catch me next week. I said last week that Webb was going to be on this week, but that was a lie because Sean was on this week and Webb's on next week. So I got my schedule wrong. So Webb Wavy will be in the building next week with me for the 13th episode. So yeah, thank y'all for tuning in again. And I'll see y'all next week. So enjoy the rest of your day and smoke a blunt.
Stay high.